FM News.
ERB justifies the construction of filling stations in residential areas, emphasizing that it is permissible provided specific safety requirements are met. Government links health investment to economic growth. In international news, Gabon in talks with Meta and TikTok over social media ban. And in sports news, Koloma Derby between Red Arrows and Power Dynamos marred with violence.
And now, the Power FM News.
With upfront and reliable news every day, my name is Suilanje Mulenga. Despite public concern over the proliferation of filling stations in residential areas, including overcrowded compounds, the Energy Regulation Board, ERB, has justified their establishment, stating that it is permissible provided specific safety requirements are met and there is a clear plan for coexistence with the communities. In recent years, Zambia, particularly Lusaka, has seen a surge in the number of service stations in residential neighborhoods, with the ERB approving over 500 service stations and more than 100 construction permits. Responding to inquiries from PowerFM regarding environmental risks posed by service stations in residential areas, ERB Sija Badija for licensing, Nelson Banda, outlined guidelines for constructing service stations in such locations, assuring the public of safety. Key regulations include a requirement that service stations be located at least 40 meters from tank farms, have underground tanks, and maintain adequate spacing from property boundaries. Mr. Banda emphasized that service stations must also feature a firewall designed to withstand fires for up to 4 hours, allowing sufficient time for emergency response teams to intervene. Fossil Fuels Moses Mwambeni noted that the convenience of having service stations in residential areas, highlighting that they provide cost-effective and quick access to petroleum products. He pointed out that urban planning often makes it challenging to avoid placing service stations in residential areas. Approval is granted, the ERB mandates an impact assessment conducted by the Zambia Environmental Agency, which allows local residents the opportunity to voice their concerns or support. In a separate development, Acting Health Minister Cornelius Mwetawa Cornelius Mwetwa, says government is repositioning the health sector as a key driver of Zambia's economic development. Mr. Mwetwa said investing in health infrastructure and medical education is not only a social obligation but a strategic economic decision. He reiterated that a healthy population is central to productivity, national resilience and sustained growth, noting that past public health crises such as COVID-19 and cholera outbreaks demonstrated how quickly economic gains can be reserved when a nation's health system is under strain. Speaking in Livingston, Mr. Mwetwa added that government, under President Hakainde Hichilema, is transforming sectors such as health and education from being viewed purely as social service to being recognized as critical economic enablers. The acting minister reaffirmed government's commitment to expanding health infrastructure, improving service delivery, and building a resilient health sector that supports Zambia's long-term economic stability and development.
A healthier nation is a wealthier nation. That is why President Hakainde Hichilema continues to turn around not just the economy, but even perceptions and the way we look at things. Mindset change. Turning education from the social sector into an economic sector because it informs the economy. Turning the health sector from a social sector into an economic sector because health informs how the economy should perform because economic performance is dependent on healthier citizens.
In another development, government has reaffirmed its commitment to electrify several schools, health facilities and villages in Mpika constituency this year under the 2026 work plan. Responding to a question in the National Assembly, Acting Minister of Energy Mike Imposha said government, through the Rural Electrification Authority, has planned to connect Changalilo Clinic, Mukonteka, Kapoko, Chipundu, Chifobere, Sabwa and Mulolesha schools, as well as Mutengo and Diki villages. He said two major projects, the Kapoko Grid Intensification Project and the Diki and Mutengo Villages Grid Intensification Project, are already being implemented. The Kapoko project, costing 12.5 million kwacha, involves the construction of new power lines and installation of transformers to benefit Kapoko Primary School and surrounding villages. Meanwhile, the 20.7 million kwacha Diki and Mutengo project will extend power lines and install transformers to supply electricity to the two villages, Chingalilo Primary School, Mbemba Mine, a rural healthcare and nearby areas. The minister said, according to the Rural Electrification Master Plan, all the listed institutions are scheduled for electrification in 2026.
The scope of works for Kapoko Grid Intensification Project involves the construction of 10.2 kilometers of 11 kV overhead lines, 14.3 kilometers of 400 voltage or volt overhead lines, and installations of 2 by 50 kVA, 2 by 100 kVA transformers at an estimated cost of 12.5. The main beneficiaries targeted were Kapoko Primary School, Mutale Village, Kapoko Village.
In another development, two people have been shot and injured during a police operation in Mwapuma compound in Choma District. Southern Province Commanding Officer Mono Namalongo says the incident happened yesterday around 11 hours when police responded to reports that a suspected criminal was about to be subjected to mob justice. Mr. Namalongo said that officers were dispatched to the scene but were met with resistance from a mob that began throwing stones. He says police discharged warning shots to disperse the crowd and restore order. Mr. Namalongo explained that in the process, 23-year-old John Hamapuma